I have always loved John chapter 6. It's the chapter of the feeding of the 5,000. Can you imagine what it must have been like to sit amongst that crowd on the hillside as the Lord broke that little boy's lunch and multiplied it and multiplied it till everybody was fed and 12 baskets were left over and the crowd was dispersed, every one of them fully fed. It is no wonder that that crowd continued to seek to follow the Lord Jesus. Now this little lake, the Sea of Galilee, was thronging with boats because as Jesus took his leave and he sent his disciples to the other side in their vessel, many took to their boats to try and find the Lord. Now they were all confused how to find him. He was not in the boat with the other disciples, and they were soon asking, Lord, how did you get across the sea? And so there are many marvelous things in this passage. And then, as is often the case with our Lord, he takes the miracle and he makes it a teaching object lesson, because he says, I am the bread of life. Now, after that miracle of feeding the 5,000, the Lord had fed them, he filled them, and he fueled them with excitement. It's a wonderful thing to see multitudes wanting to seek and find the Lord Jesus. We wonder, will we ever see it in Canada? What a great thing to see such a revival of interest in the Lord Jesus, where people are willing to give up home, time, their daily pursuits, that they might just have the ministry of the Lord to their souls. Now, you've obviously done that today. Some have traveled quite a distance. Some have made a great effort to be here and to hear the Lord's word. But still, we have empty seats. When will we ever see the peoples of Canada seeking after the Lord to find the food for their souls that they need? Now, before we run off with comparisons about Christ's day in Israel and our day here in Israel, let us seek the very essence of this analogy that the Lord now uses about him being the bread of life and of satisfying our souls. I want us to look at verse 26 and 27 today, where the Lord said in verse 27, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he was not talking about feeding the body, nourishing the physical needs of the crowd. He was alluding to himself as that bread of life that is come down from heaven to give life to souls. It is a spiritual feast, and it is that inner satisfaction that Christians find in the Lord Jesus. And I ask you, have you found that inner peace and satisfaction? Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat unto everlasting life. That's the command. That's the word right here in this text. And as a Christian, have you found that inner peace? There are a lot of people who boast of their faith in the gospel, but their hearts ring hollow rather than finding the hallowed peace that is in the saving power of the Lord Jesus. And I want us today, as we come to this communion table, to meditate on the satisfying grace of the Lord Jesus. If Christ does not work an experience. And I underline that word experience as an evangelical gospel power that ought to be working as leaven within your heart so that you are truly satisfied in the grace, the sufficiency, and in loving the Lord Jesus and finding his love filling your own heart. Now you might say, preacher, boy, this is going to be deep. This sounds very mysterious. Well, someone said that life is a mystery, birth is a mystery, personality is a mystery, human experience is a mystery, Satan is a mystery, and yes, we can add the gospel of Christ to the list of mysteries. It's wonderful. It is truly wonderful. Just as that newborn babe, when he's born into this world and you get a glimpse of that newborn, it's amazing. How do you explain the bones forming in the womb? Personality is a mystery. There's no two people in this meeting exactly the same. Everyone will take away something slightly different from this service. Everyone thinks with a different comparison level. Every one of us is uniquely created. Why did you marry the wife you married? Or why did you choose the husband that you chose? Why are we not all wanting to marry the same person? That wouldn't work very well. We are uniquely created by God. And this satisfying of the soul. Yes, we have a soul. And the Lord Jesus has come into the world to be that true bread that brings real inner peace and satisfaction to our souls. Now, I'm not going to delve into the ethereal things today. I'm going to take the Lord's words, just these words in the text, starting here in verse 26 and verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. And there is from our Lord Jesus a word of correction. People spend so much energy in seeking the things that perish. It's a word of rebuke over men who are obsessed to find the satisfaction that the world offers. And there is a kind of satisfaction the world offers. Sin, pleasure, a whole list of things has its own levels of satisfaction. But what the Lord is pointing out, they perish. They don't endure. Sin has pleasure for a season, but they don't last. And we need to be rebuked about our overexcitement about the things, the bread or the satisfying physical cravings of the flesh. Food. How many recipes do you have in your kitchen cupboard? Do you spend as much time in your Bible as you do in the recipe book in your kitchen? There are people who are food connoisseurs. They are experts in tasting the subtle flavors in different methods of cooking, never mind the ingredients that are within. People get excited about food, luxuries of life, fashion, clothing, alcohol, drugs. I know that's on the dark side. Nevertheless, you think of the obsession in this country that there is, and the money that is spent on those things, the millions that are spent on things that destroy rather than endure. Sports, right now with the World Cup on, you can see the crowds, and they're following a ball. And when that ball goes into the wrong net, oh, the depression sets in. And people travel around the world to see a game. And when their side loses, it's a bad, bad day. Those things are, well, the thing that people put so much into, and yet we know they cannot endure. And so the Lord Jesus rightly tells us here, labor not for the meat that perisheth. And I need that correction. I need to be torn away from things that I could spend my life in, and they will just be like a burst balloon. The air will go out of it, and it's gone forever. And if that's how we live and die, what an empty world. What then will be the purpose of life? What will be the gain of it all? And we are rebuked here. And knowing human nature, knowing that generation after generation falling into this pitfall of seeking with obsession the bread that perisheth, we need that word of rebuke. And so we get our eyes today upon the thing that will last. And of course, our Lord Jesus pointed to himself that I am the bread of life. And he points us today in these symbols that we use in communion to consider his cross work. The Lord calls us to enjoy his satisfaction. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. That's wonderful stuff. And this, of course, was the Lord himself, the life that he lived on earth, and that he came from heaven to be bread for our souls. And I have to ask myself, and I know I'm a preacher, I've been preaching this gospel now for 40 years and some more. And I have to ask myself, really, am I finding my soul satisfaction in the Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life? And on this, we must meditate. I can answer this. I am satisfied that Jesus is the bread of life because he truly did come from heaven. He is not a mere man. He is not a son of Adam. He is the Son of God. And it was God who, in his great heart of love for our souls, gave his only begotten Son, the Son of his own nature, of his own essence, the Son of his own likeness, his other self. And God came down in the form of Christ in our nature. And of course, he spoke, the Father spoke from heaven about his Son. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. The divine nature is stamped upon the very life, the ministry of the Lord Jesus. His miracles tell us that he's no mere man. And after feeding the 5,000, these multitudes are stirred up. Now, many use religion and Christianity for their material needs, but never enjoy a morsel of gospel satisfaction for their souls. And I have to search my heart on this. Am I a professional preacher? Am I a minister of the gospel because somehow I got into this vocation or this discipline of life, and there are certain things that I need to do and responsibilities I have, and I must fulfill them as a minister of the gospel? And is that it? Or can I say that I personally, by faith, by living experience, look unto the Lord Jesus as my Savior, the satisfaction of my soul. And I'm to labor for the meat, not the meat that perisheth, but the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. I am to seek that with all my heart. Do you? Are you interested, striving? I'm using the word labor here. The word labor means energy, exertion. It means striving and longing to fulfill. Are you doing that? As you come to God's house today, of course, you are striving. You are laboring. You are making an effort that you will hear the gospel, that you will attend this communion service, that you will take that bread in your hand and the cup in your hand, and you join it with your earnest heart's cry, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting in your blood, I'm trusting in your crosswork, I'm trusting in your grace to meet the needs of my soul. That's the labor that is mentioned right here. I'm satisfied with that he has come from heaven. I'm satisfied with Jesus' perfect life. And of course, we could scan the Savior's life from boyhood all the way to the cross, and we consider the obedience of our Lord Jesus. And it is his obedience, fulfilling the law, fulfilling all righteousness, that brings to you and me satisfaction that it is well with our souls because Christ took our place. He did the work that we should have done. He earned salvation and gives us his perfect obedience or righteousness to our account. And it's enough. It has satisfied the law of God. God the Father has accepted the life of the Lord Jesus, and his obedience now becomes mine. And there you find your satisfaction. Some people talk about religion being on a journey. The Christian's not on a journey. The born-again, blood-washed Christian has been to the cross. Yes, there may have been a journey to that point. There may have been something that brought you under conviction, that opened your eyes, that made you to see that Christ is real and Christ is for you. But when you came to the cross, salvation came to your soul. Peace is pronounced. Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus becomes yours. You are not here today to seek peace. You are here to enjoy the peace that the Lord Jesus has purchased for you by his death and by his cross. And of course, we're satisfied with the sacrifice that Christ made at the cross. When he cried out, "It is finished," we add our amen. We take our stand right there. Christ said, "It's finished." God the Father has now raised up his Son, accepting his death. It's done. All payment, all judgment, all the wrath of God is over. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And so I'm satisfied by the sacrifice, the atoning work of the Lord Jesus. Now you've got to answer the question, is it enough for you? And as you take that cup and bread, you are saying in heart, that's all I want. That's all my hope, all my confidence is in the blood work, the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. And therefore you are finding rest for your soul. No more work for salvation. No more work to have peace with God. Christ did the work in his death upon the cross. I'm also satisfied with the promises of his grace. I have found out that when the Lord makes a promise of salvation to his people, that it's never a standalone single promise, but it is like the pearls on a necklace. They're all strung together in a beautiful string of pearls. And if I have Christ and if I have his salvation by the blood, I have every spiritual gift in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me turn you to Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Here you'll find the Apostle Paul. He is writing this epistle to the Ephesian Christians, and he is starting out here with a doxology. You'll find in the writings of the Apostle Paul many such doxologies where he is writing about certain gospel truths and he bursts out into praise. This is praise writing. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, can you see that his heart is bursting? He's got such a thrill in his soul. There's such a satisfaction in the knowledge of what the Lord has done for him that he is just pouring out his praises in these verses. Does your heart burst like that? Does your soul find its thrill in these things? Now, obviously here, Paul the Apostle is not laboring for the meat that perisheth. He's not going after the material. And he's certainly not like those who sought the Lord only for the loaves and the fishes. But the apostle was after the good stuff, the spiritual, the eternal, the things that endure. And you'll see them all lined up right here in these verses. Look at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. There's gospel, salvation, doctrine upon doctrine. And it's all just lined up for us. These are the things that endure. If you are without blame, then you're faultless before God. If you're made holy, then there's no accusation, no condemnation. If you are before God in love, what a satisfaction comes into the soul. And so the question then is, are you seeking the good stuff? I'm saying it that way to make you think. It's kind of raw language for a preacher to use, seeking the good stuff. You see, the bad stuff is the material. The bad stuff, the things are going to burn up. The things that are going to turn to dust, that will not stand eternity. The good stuff is the stuff that will endure. Is your heart fixed in the eternal and in the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus? Now we sing these hymns which stir our hearts. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. That's hymn 489 in our hymn book. Just the thrill of entering into all the grace, all the fullness, all the satisfaction that is in the Lord Jesus. Now, this is not airy-fairy, mysterious, jump-in-the-dark faith. This is to lay hold of what Christ has done. and all the blessings that he has secured, and we are claiming them. Or we think of the hymn we sing, "More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee." There is the satisfied believer, learning, finding, enjoying the sweetness that the Savior brings into your soul. Are you laboring for that in prayer? Are you making efforts to enjoy that? You see, this gospel is not for the lazy person. It's not to the prayerless. It's not to the heedless who will not listen to the Savior's voice. But it is to those who seek, and they shall find. They knock, and it shall be opened to them. And we find that satisfaction. There's also here in verse 27 an invitation as the giver of satisfaction, which the Son of Man shall give you. There is no other giver like that. No man can give life to dead souls. But of course the Lord gives, and he gives, and he giveth again. In verse 28, you have the Lord's word of direction to receive this satisfaction. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." It's not works, it's faith. It's believing. It is faith in the Son of God that's required. An unbelieving heart is a wicked thing. It cannot receive the blessing. It cannot find satisfaction. And that is the greatest sin that we can ever commit, is to doubt, question, and fail to accept. And of course, the wicked live in that land of no peace. They are like the raging sea, the waves that foam and stir. There is no peace to the wicked. But here there is the invitation and the instruction to find peace in the Lord. And the answer is right here today. The Lord invites you to be at peace with him, as he is the bread of life. Do you hear that voice in your soul? Let me take time just to apply this. We have learned that material things do not satisfy. Riches, fame, money, houses, lands, drugs, alcohol, the pleasures of this world for a season, those things fail to satisfy. But for the Christian, all the grounds, the basis of our satisfaction is Jesus himself. He came from heaven. He lived the life we should have lived. He went to the cross and died the death that we should have died. His blood has purchased eternal peace with God. We are reconciled. We have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This now becomes our solid ground of hope. And we draw from the Lord continually this grace to our own souls. And so we have here this exhortation: come, believe, labor for the meat that endureth, and enter in. Now, as we come to the communion table, and as you take this cup and bread today, you are saying, "I am feeding on the living bread. I am trusting in the Redeemer's work. Not myself, not my works, but the finished work of the Savior. And his grace is all for me." That's the transaction that you are taking as you take the cup and bread. Now, if you said, "I can't believe this. What is this?" Then you ought not to take this cup and bread. but with faith. And that's how the Lord puts it here. Believe on him whom he hath sent. And then you take and eat. And you do so to praise the Lord.